This officer said, every stalk of corn in the greater part of the field was cut as closely as with a knife, and the slain lay in rows precisely as they had stood in their ranks a few minutes before. There were more than 8,000 casualties in this cornfield. It was about a 23-acre cornfield, 8,000 men shot down there. One Confederate regiment, the 1st Texas, suffered more than 80% casualties in about 10 minutes fighting in the cornfield. Just a maelstrom. In a small country lane in the center of the battlefield, the sunken lane, later called Bloody Lane, Confederate bodies lay so thickly packed that a Union officer said that he walked for more than 100 yards without ever touching the ground in this lane, just from body to body to body. A Pennsylvania soldier put it quite simply. He said, no tongue can tell, no mind conceive, no pen portray the horrible sights I witnessed. Photographers got to the battlefield in time to take pictures of the corpses of the dead Confederates. The Union dead had been buried, and these pictures caused a sensation in the North. No one had seen what a battlefield really looked like before. They'd seen heroic woodcuts and so forth. Here was the true human debris of a battlefield, and it caused a sensation. Long lines of people would wait outside the photographic galleries to see these pictures. It was quite something. Lee remained on the field through most of September 18. Incredibly, McClellan did not press him anymore. I think it was a very risky move on Lee's part, but he got away with it because McClellan chose not to renew the attacks, and Lee withdrew that night toward the fords over the Potomac. McClellan let him go. That was the end of the military side of the campaign. Let's look at the consequences, the impact of this campaign, which were immense. The military consequences were mixed. The battle itself was a tactical standoff. Neither side drove the other from the field. Very bloody, but no real decisive decision on the battlefield. It was not interpreted as a great defeat in the Confederacy at the time. It was seen as essentially a drawn battle. Lee didn't retreat that far. He didn't retreat until a full day later. And then he took up a position along the Potomac River, and the military frontier essentially remained where it had been at the time following the Battle of Second Manassas. McClellan elected not to pursue Lee. Days went by. Lincoln grew frustrated. He visited McClellan and the army. He could not get McClellan to move. The rest of September passed by. October passed by. Eventually, in early November, the day after the elections in the North, Lincoln removed McClellan. He finally had had it with George B. McClellan. So militarily, it's a little bit of a murky picture, certainly tactically, but the fact that Lee did retreat and he lost the momentum that he had generated with the 7 days in Second Manassas means that it must be seen in that light as a Union victory. But the real consequences were not the military consequences. On the diplomatic front, Great Britain, which had been edging towards some kind of intervention in the war, in fact, the day of the battle, key British leaders had said, if Lee wins another victory, we should try to mediate an end to this war. When they found out that Lee had retreated, they pulled back from that idea and said, let's wait. Let's wait and see what the Confederates do in the next campaign. So they edged back from what seemed like a likely intervention. It would be much harder for them to intervene because of another thing that happened right after Antietam, and that was Lincoln's issuance of the preliminary proclamation of emancipation. Here was enough of a victory for Lincoln to issue his proclamation. This was far more important than just the diplomatic side of what had happened. Once the proclamation had been issued, of course, it made it more difficult for France and Great Britain to come in on the side of the Confederacy because they had ended slavery, both of them already, and it would be hard for them to support an overtly slaveholding republic in its contest against a nation that was at least partly on record against the institution of slavery. The preliminary proclamation meant that Northern war aims had changed. The war for the Union had become a war for Union and freedom, because wherever Union forces marched now, they would be taking the possibility of freedom with them. The stakes were much higher in the war. The whole social fabric of the South was now on the table. If the Confederacy lost the war, they would lose slavery and their whole social system would be turned topsy-turvy. So there is a great deal more at risk for the white South. There would be no more status quo antebellum after the Emancipation Proclamation. It changed the whole nature of the war. And what we will do next time in our next lecture is look at the process that brought the North to the Emancipation Proclamation.